Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you when you think you're about to give up gas. Just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not.
Well, hello, welcome once again to Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you are listening to the best internet program on the planet. I say that with all encouragement, because you have to be sure of what you're doing. And we thank God for this opportunity to come before you each and every Saturday morning with guests that's making a difference, with men and women that are pouring themselves out in the kingdom, men and women that are touching the hearts of other men and women. You know, as I was going through life there, I was being challenged at every turn, but yet God had men and women set up right where I was to meet my need. And I'd just like to encourage you that God hadn't forgot about you. I'd like to just take a moment here and thank Beverly Beasley. She's the CEO and director of Granny's Place, which sponsors this program each and every Saturday morning. Granny's Place is a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our at-risk young men and women. We have a beautiful website. Please take time to go over and visit it. It'll be Granny's Place Ministry. Amen. And see what you could do to be involved in the lives of God's people. As you log into this program, you'll see our template that says, help change a life. Oh, that's beautiful there. And you know, a scripture to go along with that is James 5:20. It said, let them know, them that can convert a sinner from the errors of his ways, save a soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins. Amen. We have a couple of great guests on this morning. I will call in numbers 310-982-4126. You too can call in and join the conversation, voice your opinion, or maybe just set the tempo for the next show. Amen. But without any further delay, we have a great guest on this morning. Brother Daniel is going to conduct the interview this morning here. We have Dr. Fletcher on here this morning, and he's going to share with us some things that's concerning to the body of Christ. And so at this next voice you hear will be Brother Daniel and Dr. Fletcher. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
God bless you. Thank you, Brother Daniel, Dr. Fletcher. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy the interview. I'm going to be one of the listening audience this morning here and let you gentlemen go ahead and start the interview, and we'll just chime in when necessary.
All right.
Yeah, good morning. Anybody hear me?
Good morning.
We got you, Brother Daniel.
Okay, right now we got a guest. His name is Dr. Fletcher, and right now I'd like for you to give us a brief bio of yourself and what degrees you have and everything about yourself.
Well, I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and one of the things that I remember left there in the late 60s, matter of fact, it was 1968. The reason that stands out in my mind as a child, because I remember seeing the fires that were coming from the Sears Roebuck. It had been a time right after Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination, and that stuck in my mind as a child. As we left from there and moved to Georgia, was raised in a fairly moderate Christian home, had been taken to church as early as I could remember, but I would not say that I knew the Lord until later in my life when I was about 17. One of the reasons was that I had gone to church, and yet there seemed to be this incongruent nature that I saw people differently during the week than I did actually on a Sunday. And that was somewhat confusing to me. But nevertheless, God in his mercy, somebody said, like the bloodhound of heaven, continued to follow me. until finally I did give my life to the Lord. And have been involved in ministry now for over 40 years. Married, 4 children, 2 grandchildren, and even have a couple of great-grandchildren. So I've been blessed.
Okay, I need you to give us your complete name and title.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Dr. Walter Fletcher, and I am a pastor, co-pastor, Hebron Covenant Community here in Dallas.
Amen. Amen. That's what we want to hear, Mr. Fletcher. What is the biggest struggle you seem to have in your spiritual life? You said you were the minister, and what seems to be the biggest struggle you had?
Well, I think, you know, as a ministry, you know, my heart's desire is really to see the body of Christ come together and be healed, and that, frankly, has, I think, been somewhat of a thread in my walk with the Lord from the time I came to know Him. Seeing the division and strife in the body has been a constant eager desire for me to see that heal, to where we represent the Lord more visibly within the body. Sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Apologize.
Amen. Dr. Fletcher?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Are you all right?
Here now. All right.
Okay. I apologize. All right. So I'm not sure I answered your question entirely.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. Now, what do you think about the connection of the civil rights movement and the Jewish involvement in it? How did it begin, and who were some of the leaders involved in it?
Well, it's interesting you would ask that. This whole issue, I think, is a very, very important one and a great question, because the black-Jewish relationship, especially in the United States, has been a long one, as well as a complex one. Really, in the early 1900s, the Jewish people, as well as the Afro-American people, began to come together to do some things together, because they recognized that from biblical story and narrative of the Exodus, that their stories were quite similar. And I think you know of the as the children of Israel, they went into Egypt, and that they found themselves first free, and then they were enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
yeah,
that narrative, of course, resonates certainly with Afro-Americans who, for the most part, came to America not voluntarily, but being brought here as slaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the cry, both from the Book of Exodus for freedom, and that cry that resonated with the Africans came to America, their stories and their narratives are similar. And so, go ahead.
You know, I'm kind of connected between what's the name of this this man that came to America the other day, and he talked to Obama and he talked to Bremer, and I think his name Ben Nagaye, or
I'm not familiar with him.
The Israel Prime Minister of Israel.
Oh, Benjamin Netanyahu, you're talking about just recently.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes,
now I know there's some scriptures in the Bible that says that we should support Israel. And anybody that doesn't support Israel, we almost like we're letting God down.
Right. I like to call it God's foreign policy, which is in Genesis 12, when he says to Abraham, whom he called to walk with him, he said, "Now I will bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you." And so right there, you see what God had in mind in choosing a man, Abraham. By the way, it's very interesting. He's called Abraham the Hebrew, but he's called the Hebrew because in the Hebraic, it means crossing over. He actually was a Gentile before he became a Hebrew, which I think is rather interesting. But yes, the Lord distinguished him, and he's known as the father of the faith. And
I think that we're kind of getting away from the question right now. I was talking about the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King, and some of the, I believe he had some rabbis and other Jewish people that got involved with the movement. And, what was some of their support that they gave Dr. King?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there were several, and statistically, about 50% of the civil rights support came from the Jewish community. Most people are not aware of that. When I say 50%, I'm not just talking about the resourcing, though that was true, but it was also true of those that walked with them, legal aid assistance, as well as those who helped to mobilize some of the marchers. Sorry,
there's
static.
Yeah. Also, you say, I know there's a couple of even young men that got killed and lost their lives, too.
Yes. And I think there were two or three young men who went to march in some of the marches in the South that actually their lives were lost as well. But the partnerships of the whole civil rights movement really kind of began with the blacks and Jews alike, you know, when in the 1900s with W.E.B. Du Bois and some of these leaders came together to create even the NAACP. That was a joint venture even from the beginning.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know that. You told me something I didn't know. So you're saying that the NAACP was started by Dr. Du Bois?
Yeah. Well, names like Julius Rosenthal, Lillian Wall, Rabbi Hirsch, Stephen Wise, they came together to form the NAACP. And then there were some other leagues as well, when, again, the Jewish and black leaders came together, creating the Urban League and on, we could look in history. That's a great article, by the way, for those who are interested in looking at this a little more closely. PBS did a thing called a few years ago, From the Swastika to Jim Crow, and it's wonderful and an interesting article in and of itself. So these have been somewhat a co-joined relationship very early on in the 1900s of our history, right down to the civil rights movement.
I'd like to ask you a question right now. It's kind of close to home to me.
Okay.
What do you think about the homeless and drug problem around in Dallas and America? Do you basically think that it can be solved overnight, or can it be solved in a couple of days, or can it be solved? Will it always be with us?
Well, that's a good question. I think, number one, we within our Dallas-Fort Worth region know that the homeless situation and the drug situation is about as high as any within a huge metroplex within our nation. Can it be solved quickly? Probably not, because it didn't get here quickly. There are systemic situations that continue to create the homelessness, but I must say, as a minister and a believer, that scripturally, two things are very interesting. Number one, God let his people know that they would have the poor with them always, and that's a rather ironic thing, but it seems that it was more that God would say that to his people so that their hearts would not become hardened toward people of less, who are disadvantaged, people who are without home, food, these type of things. In other words, that God invited them into the difficulty and the problem that apparently the Lord understood would be facing people. And he even said to them, now don't you forget that you were a stranger in a foreign land, that when I bring you into the land. So we see that this is a phenomenology situation, but it's increasing because of economic disparity, as well as still the issue of racial divide. And unfortunately, the culture of the world often has become the culture of the church when we don't deal with healing issues within within race divide issues within the church.
So what you're saying, that the church should be one of the main sponsors for helping the homeless people, right? Helping the problems around in the city.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when we only turn to, say, government policies and civil policies, we really have not touched the real solution, according to the scriptures, that we're called to care for the widow, the poor, and the orphan. And the tragedy within, I think, our city is that we are top heavy with those who have funds, but very short on the compassion to deal with the need.
Amen. Now I want to ask you a question. Now, who do you think who has most of the resources?
Now, when you say who, you're referring to
what nationality of people?
Oh, well, it's statistically proven that much of the economic base is held by whiter Anglo community. Although there's becoming a greater upward mobility, if you please, among people of color. But at this time, obviously, the economic base of those who have wealth, either through business or their own passed-down inheritance, has been among the white community.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you another question, Dr. Fletcher. Do you think, basically, do you think the people that are not having finances or homes or money, Do you think we are living under some kind of curse or being disobedient to God? Or do you think God's wrath is being put upon these people or what?
Well, you know, I'm thinking of the passage in Jeremiah where Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, when you look at what the scripture calls wickedness, it clearly admonishes those that are rich to not forget the poor and not to neglect the poor. So that the ultimate root cause of the problem is spiritual, which flows over into the social disparity.
Okay, so you're saying that, so what you're saying is maybe we are disobeying God, or maybe some people are not living right, or they're not, you know, being obedient to God.
Well, I think two things. I would say, number one, the sin of selfishness, which if we have, we want more, and if we have more, how much is enough? This was asked of John D. Rockefeller, who was the richest man at that time in the world, and they asked him how much he owned, and he said he didn't know. And they said, well, how much is enough? And his comment was just a little bit more. And so that comment really is very pervasive with those, that the disparity of the haves and the have-nots. And let's face it, we as a democratic nation, we have created a system that certainly rewards those who quote-unquote are successful at making money and punish those who do not, or for whatever reason, whether it's educational or the opportunity, that we tend to punish those by not assisting. I think it's not just a case, when we look at this, which is a broad subject, not just the case of the disparity, but the complexity of how people continue to cycle into poverty and ongoing issues. For example, in the Bible, there's no case in the Bible for racism. We make that. Men and women make that. People of culture make that. The Bible doesn't deal with the subject as race or racism. Matter of fact, Jesus said one of the last day signs of his coming would be ethnic divisions and ethnic violence. So the Bible talks about ethnic people groups, but not racism as such. And yet, without a revelation of the body of Christ, then we cannot begin to deal with the problems that are before us. They only will become magnified because we allow the culture of racism and things to become part of the culture of the church, overtly or covertly.
Mm-hmm. Amen. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Hey, what a great interview we're having here. Brother Daniel, we have a phone line lit up right now, so we're going to take a moment here and open the phone line for anyone have any questions for Dr. Fletcher. Doctor, I'm enjoying this interview. You're really shedding the light on some things that are dear to my heart, and I'm excited about your take on it. And we pray that everyone just realize that, you know, we have a lot to do with what's going on. It's up to God's people to recapture the theme that we gave away. A lot of times people say the enemy stole it, but let's face it, some things we gave away. And I'm glad that you're recapturing those things by your teaching and your take on the gospel, and you encouraging other men and women to be about their father's business. We're going to take a moment here, and we're going to open the phone line up, because we don't want you to get out of here without being able to share with someone of what's going on in the body.
Good morning,
you on the net.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to our internet program. You're on the net with Dr. Fletcher here. You have any questions or comments regarding what he just discussed? Brother Daniel is doing the interview.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's always a joy to listen to your Saturday morning program, Brother Joel. I always come away with a word of wisdom that edifies me and motivates me to recognize that through the power of Jesus Christ that abides in my life, that I have the ability to make an indelible mark, not only in the lives of people, but in the culture in which I live. I want to make a comment about the Word of God and the relationship of God's teachings and contemporary culture. Oftentimes I get statements made by people who state that the Bible doesn't address issues like slavery and the misuse or abuse or the denial of rights for women and children and so forth. And I think those kinds of perspectives are based on a lack of understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't address any of the contemporary issues of their day per se, because he knew that most of the problems that had to do with slavery and, if you want to call it, racism and so forth, had to do with the hearts of mankind. And so he came to bring about the opportunity for transformation through rebirth and regeneration. As God says, I will give you a new heart, because the heart is the beacon or the agent of change. If you change the heart of mankind, then the man who writes the laws and legislations that creates division and discrimination and racism and segregation will cease to exist. So that was the simple solution. If we can change the heart of men, then we'll change the culture from which it comes from the heart. And so I just wanted to make that comment and say that.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, we're
just
going to end up this portion of the interview. Thank you, Mike. And hold on now, because we got another great guest coming up, and we want you to share with that what our guest is coming up also. Go ahead, Dr. Fletcher. We'll let you have some remarks on that, and we'll get ready to close out this portion of our show.
Very good. Well, I think the person that called in really expressed it well, because God sets the boundaries and times and seasons that men might seek after him. And through one man, one man's blood, he's made all mankind. So when we deal with the heart, then we deal with the real matter. And from the heart flows all issues of life, so that the heart, when it heals, will reach out as an agent of healing. And Jesus came as a wounded healer to bring healing. Even though he was rejected by men, he came, and all that accepted him, he gave them the power to be one family, children of God, having one Father who gives access to all the family. So this is good news indeed.
Yes, it is. Dr. Fletcher, I want to thank you for being a guest on the program. Thank you, Brother Daniel, for conducting the interview. What a great interview. And Dr. Fletcher, we know that you're a very busy man.
Got any contact numbers?
Yes.
Dr. Fletcher, got any contact numbers you want to give out?
Yes. If anybody would like to further conversation, 469-766-1000. And we are Hebron Covenant Community.
Repeat that.
Yes, it's W. Fletcher, D-R-I, @hotmail.com. And our number is 469-766-1000. We meet
in the name of your organization.
Yes, Hebron Covenant Community. Hebron Covenant Community. And we meet on Sunday at 10:30. At the Best Western Hotel of the 635 in Coit.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you for being on our show today, Dr. Fletcher, and we'd like to offer you to come back again. You're welcome to come back, and we'll discuss some more interesting spiritual.
It's a joy to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Got anything to say, Deacon Lewis? Reverend Lewis?
Yes, Dr. Fletcher, thank you very much, and it's been truly a blessing interview. We're looking forward to having you to come back again and share some more of your knowledge and your experience in the lives of God's people, and give us a little history lesson. Amen. and let us know that God has been with us for ages, and he's going, if he did it then, he can do it again. He can do it now. So thank you for the words of encouragement. It definitely got me on fire for the Lord.
Thank you. It's a joy being on with you.
Well, God bless you, and we'll be talking later. This show is archived, so you can go back and listen to it and share it with your friends and family, and God be the glory.
Thank you.
Hey, man, oh, what a great interview that we had today with Dr. Fletcher. Brother Daniel conducted the interview, and we have our next guest on the line here. I'm excited about this young lady here, T.J. Mitchell. She wrote a book, and a very beautiful book, and I read the portion of the book here, and also I listened to her testimony, her story there. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to let her come on, and she can share it better than I can, so we'll allow her to come on. Good morning, T.J. Mitchell.
Good morning, Minister Lewis. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our program. God bless you.
Thank you. It's an awesome experience to be here. I'm grateful.
I am so excited about you having the opportunity to come on to our program here. I heard about your book, and after I heard your testimony, I said, hey, I need to get her on here. I would like to get her on here so she can share her story and encourage other men and women to be about our Father business. So please take this time to introduce yourself, tell us about your book, and why you do what you do.
Okay, well, my book is titled Let the Truth Be Told, A Celebrity Tell-All, and the book is basically a non-fictional memoir book. It's dealing with excerpts of my life story. When I was younger, back then they had a saying, kids are supposed to be seen and not heard. So as a result of that, we didn't say too much. And the down part about that was a lot of stuff got, you know, just kept down on the inside of us, and we had no one to share with. So I took to paper and pen. I started writing. And when I started writing, I can recall being about 8 years old when I noticed that it was something different about me. I'm like, okay, I'm writing all this stuff about what happened to me, every single whipping, every time I meet somebody, good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak. And it just kept piling up. It just kept piling up. Then I started labeling it. I started labeling it, putting stuff together like my childhood or my best experience, not knowing that God had a purpose for me. And his purpose was to keep these writings so that I can share with people. Your show title is just awesome as it deals to my book, you know, Free on the Inside, because that's basically what my book is talking about. It's talking about, you know, coming to terms with life. You may not have such a good childhood, or you may not have somebody in your life that sat you down and talked to you about the birds and bees. But one thing that I took for granted was that God was there all the time. I just didn't know it. I grew up with a father who had claimed to be an atheist. I grew up with a mother who was so spiritual that, it's a saying that says, so holy that you know earthly good, or it's some type of saying that went like that. But my mom, I mean, we had to go to church 3 and 4 times a week. We didn't get to ask questions, but one thing I was thankful about with her doing that is, while I was sitting in there, and although I thought I wasn't interested, that word was getting down in me. So when I got into the world and I got on the wrong side of the track as far as selling drugs and getting involved with these type of people who weren't godly people, God had a fence of protection around me from the prayers that was going up from my grandmother, from my mom, from the saints just around me. So by him keeping that fence of protection around me, he allowed me to get into some situations where he was the only person that can get me out of those situations. And let me tell you, God will allow some things to come on you to where you'll drop all pride, you'll drop all other things that you're going through, and you'll call on him. And that's what happened to me. I called him, and I called him until he got me out of that situation. But however, there was one situation that he didn't get me out of so quickly. He allowed me to go through those things in order to grow and to know that he is God. So I'm thankful not only for this opportunity, Minister Joel, but I'm thankful for coming out of that situation alive. And I say, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I'm going to run for you. I'm going to run for my life. I'm going to tell people about the goodness of the Lord. All I want you to do is allow me to serve you longer than I serve the devil.
Amen, amen. We'll have an interview here with T.J. Mitchell. She's the author of a tell-all book, Let the Truth Be Told. It's a beautiful book, and she's going to give us some insight on the book and how she came about writing this book. But if you'd like to call in and join the conversation, that number is 310-982-4126. And we have quite a few phone callers in, so we're going to take a moment out after she give her interview and open up the phone line for any questions or comments. Or just say, give her some kudos for the book that she's wrote. Now, tell us now, what can we expect to find when we read this book?
What you can expect to find is the truth. The capital T-R-U-T-H. I mean, I was so truthful
that
some of the Christian bookstores, some of the Christian bookstores were hesitant about putting it on their shelves at first because I was raw. I told the truth about, you know, me having abortions. I told the truth about, you know, how many sex partners I had. I told the truth about everything. I was truthful because I feel that when people write books, some people are going through drugs. Some people are going through child molestation. I told them the truth to let them know what I did in order to get out of that situation. If you sugarcoat something that you're going through, then it may not help another person because your situation may not be as hard as what they're in. So I say, Lord, I'm going to tell them the truth, and I'm not embarrassed because it was you that brought me out of this sleeping with more than one partner. It was you who brought me out of having uncles, you know, molest me when I was a child. It was you who just got me to know my work. So I don't get embarrassed. I use it as a testimony, and I thank him for allowing me to go through that so I can be a help to someone else.
Hey,
so the
man,
truth
you
is
know
what you're going to definitely find in there.
And, you know, as you were sharing that, because as we go forward, people want to see the truth. They want to hear the truth. They want to know that God really lived in you. Can God really use me after all this? Can I still hear God's voice in the midst of all this craziness? And so that is so true there, because as I go through life and different ministries, I see men and women are being challenged to say, can God still use me? And you're a living testimony that God can use you, that what the devil meant for evil, God could turn around for good. And I'm so glad that you were able to put it on paper, so to speak, here. Amen. And, you know, and if someone wants to read this book, when they read this book, what chapter would you tell them, say, hey, this is a chapter that you should not miss a glance over?
Now, I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to say this first. In chapter 6, it's entitled All on My Own, and it tells about how I got involved in running various clubs. I owned a club that used to be called City Lights in South Dallas, and it I named it Players Ball, but it's the Historical Forest Theater, and it's on MLK. And I used to own that before Erykah Badu had it, and I called it Players Ball. When I tell you, it was packed from the front to the back every night, and the people that were coming there, I was friends with people like Emmett Smith. I dated Michael Irvin for a while. I dated Donald Hodge of the Dallas Mavericks for a while. So I'm naming them in my book. You can, you know, if you read the book, you'll see and hear what I have to say about them. And when I tell you that these people were a part of that nightlife, I mean, a part of the drugs and the women and, you know, just that scene. So I would say read it for that as a point of interest, just to see who I was affiliated with. But you can't miss chapter 7, which is the end. It's called My Finish, and it's called God. I fought a battle that God had already won for me. And it's just telling about one of the main situations that I got involved in with dealing with one of my drug deals that went bad. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. So it tells about how I was able to get through that, but God didn't bring me through it until I acknowledged him. I went through a phase where I was mad at God because I was in that situation. I feel that I didn't have the same opportunity as normal kids had as far as having a safe home. And it's funny because your parents, I know my mom loved me, and it's a sad thing when you have to watch aunties and uncles and brothers and sisters. You're thinking that being around these people, your child is safe. So I don't blame her for anything. But when you're young, you do, because you don't understand that. All that you know is that your mom and dad is supposed to keep you safe. So when you're not safe, you start questioning God and asking him, like, you know, why am I going through this situation? And I just thank God, because through my growth and through writing that book, he allowed me to see why I had to go through that. So that's the answer to your question. And I apologize for getting emotional. And usually I can talk about it and I won't. But I'm just thankful, because by me talking about it and by, you know, whoever's listening to your show, it's going to be a blessing to them if they read it. I'm not trying to get book sales. I'm giving away more books than I'm selling, because I just want people to know that in spite of all you go through, you can be free on the inside if you let God handle it and quit trying to fight it yourself.
That is so true. That is so true. We're going to take a moment here and open up the phone lines and let you regroup. But also, I thank God for you allowing yourself to be exposed like that, because as I go out and I do things, and people look at you, and sometimes people don't accept it, but all the glory, you know, this is God's business. I keep saying that. And sometimes
that's
people
right.
say, well, how could you do that and you did it? Yeah, but I don't know. Why did I know that God didn't leave me? I left God, but he never left me. And I'm glad you shared
that.
Come on now. I think sometimes we all get mad at God, but sometimes they say, oh, no, I never get mad. Yes, you do. You know, when you're in a rebellious
yes,
state,
you do.
Mad at God.
You're not honest. You do.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
You get mad, but he's your father, and he say, my sheep know my voice, and they come running to me. So you don't stay mad long, because you recognize that it's God who's trying to get you back on the right track.
You're so true. Hey, I'm going to open the line up here for a minute. I got my co-host on the line here. I want you to think about something as we come back. What words of encouragement would you give a young lady that's struggling, that's out on the street, that's doing things that's ungodly, and that she done lost all hope? What words of encouragement can you give her to kind of draw her closer to God?
Okay. You want me to answer that now or wait until your co-host?
No, we're going to let our co-host come on. I want you to think about what you're going to say.
Gotcha.
Brother Daniel.
Okay. All right.
Hey, how's it doing,
yeah,
Reverend Lewis?
Hey,
oh, man, yeah, I remember the city lights. I remember the city lights club. I never knew who owned it, but, you know, I'm a musician. I used to go in playing a lot of these places in town. And, you know, I know about the other five and Robert Whitfield. You know him?
What is his name?
Hello? Robert
Did
Whitfield.
You say Robert
Colin Goody? Whitfield.
They call him Goody?
Yeah.
Winfield.
He's played with other like Warm and Scurry. He had one of the best bands in Dallas. He used to play write with the Gap Band. You probably
know. Okay.
But anyway,
I
like to ask you, out of all this what happened to you, have you ever had any kind of, you know, counseling, spiritual counseling from ministers, anything like that, and tried to basically, I know the first sign of being cured, you go through different stages, you know, you go through grief, you go through anger, and all these different stages you go through. You said you went through all of them, right?
Yes, sir. And what happened, Brother Daniel, was when I was 27, when I gave my life to God, that's when I started mm-hmm. getting help. The first help came from my pastor. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Kozik under the leadership of Pastor J.T. Taylor, Senior Superintendent, who's now deceased. But I grew up in that era, mm-hmm. and that was my first avenue for healing, getting involved with the church, just really getting my rules and understanding, you know, God's word. And after then, when I became 35, I started getting counselor help, like where a licensed counselor would help me deal with these issues, because I found myself still angry about, you know, what I had to go through and how I grew up. So between the preacher and the counselor, and I was able to get that help that I need. And I'm 45 now. And when I tell you every day dealing with God, it's still getting canceled, because you can go through that and you'll be okay, but you never forget it. So I constantly, every day, through prayer and doing the ministry, I continue to get help for those issues that I had to go through.
Hey, man, God bless you. Thank you for sharing that. We have another call on the line. Here's a brother, Jeffrey, say he heard your testimony. He just wanted to just say hello and give you words of encouragement.
Okay.
Good morning, brother
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. Are you on the line?
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Lewis. And I just want to tell this young woman, you know, thank you so much for standing, you know, for standing firm in Christ. And it's hard. It's hard to tell people about things that are hard for you. And, you know, I'm just touched by your truth and your spirit of Christ. And I just want to say, you know, be encouraged and just keep on. You know, keep on. I didn't know about your book, but now that I know about it, I'll be buying a copy because I want you to.
Awesome.
I want you to be blessed, and I know God's gonna bless you because you're standing up, and you'll be and God's gonna make you stand out for the truth. You just keep on being truthful, and keep on praying to Jesus and stay in that living Word. And that's all I wanted to say was just, hey, thank you. Thank you for being a voice for Christ. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Oh,
well, God bless you, Brother Jeffrey.
I appreciate that, Mr. Jeffrey.
We have several other callers online, but we want to get back with you because we want to maximize this time here. Now, as I stated earlier, what words of encouragement can you give a young lady or a young person that's struggling with their self-worth and if their relationship with God? Because as we go through the fire and we come out the other side, you said it was for our good. And sometimes we can't see that.
That's right. That's right. And what I would say to them, Minister Joel, is no matter what you go through, I mean, I felt like I didn't have anyone. I used to pray and say, Lord, if you would just give me one person that would think along the lines that I think, I could just really do something for you. And I couldn't find that person, and the whole time God was telling me, you don't need anybody else. I'm all you need if you trust in me and believe in me. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. The faith is the substance of, what is it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, yeah, the evidence of things not seen. So that's saying that you have to believe in him even though you don't see how it's going to happen. You have to believe in him even though you don't know how it happens. That's that faith, that undying hope that God is going to bring you through. So I would tell them to just hold fast to that faith, hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Don't let nothing deter them. Just know that he's going to bring them through it. Because when you're going through that stuff, and you grew up in a dysfunctional household, you're not going to find anybody that's on your same page. You're not going to find anybody that's going to help you, you know, come out of that living hell that you're in, because you're living right in the middle of hell. Hell is all around you through the people, through your association. So I would tell that person that's struggling to just hold on to God's hand, pray unceasingly, and keep the faith, because in the end, it does work out for the good of those that love the Lord. That's what I would tell them.
Amen, amen. That's words of encouragement. Now, also, you are you involved in some other things because of the thing that you went through allowed you to be able to walk in another type of ministry. Will you share with us some other things that you're involved in because of the grace and the mercy of God?
Well, about 10 years ago, I started up an organization, a nonprofit organization, a 503C, it's called God Paid in Full Through Helpers of Christ. And what that means is I get different saints from different realms of churches and different areas, and we come together and we work for God. Like this particular nonprofit organization, we cater to women who have been abused, and we call that the Toya and Mia House of Health, and it's a division under my 503 filing. And basically what we do is if you know somebody that's going through domestic abuse and just needs to get away and need avenues of help, then you can call me and call this number that's set up, and we'll start a process of getting you help for that. Now, the good thing about it is God Paid in Full is just not limited to abuse. Whatever your need is, we try to meet you at that need. If you're a family and you're struggling with, you know, not enough food to eat, you call us and we'll get you in touch with the right people and get you the right help to get some food in your house. So I've been doing that now. It's been active now for the last 2 years, but I've had it for 10 years, and it went up and down due to we got most of our funds from the government, and they were, you know, struggling financially. But that didn't stop us. We use the help of saints, and we do fundraisers and stuff to get this money. So if you know anybody that's struggling with abuse or whatever their need is, they can call the number, and we'll get them, you know, help and do what we can to get them out of that situation.
Amen. God bless you. You know, and I like what you said, that you're working with other organizations. You know, sometimes we think we have to do it alone, but we don't. We can, you know, God help men and women and other organizations that's already set aside and established for such a work as that. So I'm not overwhelmed by the need. I just hate to know the resource. I need to know where I can go to meet these meet people's needs.
Exactly.
But, you know, for one plant, one waters, and God gets the increase. So I like that, and I pray that our listening audience heard that and said, hey, I want to do this here, but I don't have to do this myself. You got other people that's doing it. We just have to be plugged in.
Right.
And we're going to take
and
a moment here.
And that's what we need to do, because some things don't do that. You know, they want to do everything and take credit, but we're God's people. You know, just like you work with the homeless. You work with the, you know, youth ministry. You go in nursing homes. I want to be a part of that. I don't have to do nothing but just do what you say do. I just want to be a part of helping God's children.
Hey, that's what it's all about. Helping one another, being a servant, you know, that's the greatest right there.
That's
being
right.
A servant. We have someone else on the phone line here, and we're going to open it up here and let them say a few things. Good morning there, Mike.
Good morning, Minister Joel. I'm real ecstatic about what I'm hearing from this young lady, and I have two things that I want her to put forward. One is that I want her to be aware that I head up a coalition of what we call community partner organizations. These are nonprofits and faith-based organizations that consist of people who've gone through things and who now understand that was in preparation for what we're doing now, and that is taking the gospel to those who are hurting and who are lost and with habits and hang-ups.
Yeah,
and we believe in partnering because no one organization or person can meet the needs of the people we serve. But when we come together, we form the whole body of Christ, and we can make an indelible impact on the lives of people. So I want to make sure that we're able to have contact after this show so we can share with you what we're doing, and hopefully you can become a part of our partnership. Now, your story is
awesome.
And I want to share real quick with you is that there are no accidents in God's world for anybody, but especially for those that he has ordained and called, and you were chosen before you were formed in the womb of your mother. Jesus answered the question, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his sins or the sins of his parents? And it was neither. He was born blind for the glory of God. See, all things
That's
happen
right.
for the good. For those who not only love God but call according to his purpose, you're called because you're chosen. Okay? We may not realize that. See, this sanitized version of Christianity where we never go through anything and we sit in churches pretending as if we all got together and always have is an impediment to those who are hurting and in need because they don't feel like they're ready or they're able or accepted in the church. See, we need to begin to recognize and share our stories and testimonies. That means once and all and get away with this pristine without spot. See, we're not without spot or stain until we come to Jesus Christ and we're washed by his blood. So you
right.
can't talk about the comfort of God when you haven't gone through anything. Scripture says that the God of all comfort who comforts us in the midst of our trials and tribulations so that we can comfort others with the comfort we ourselves first experienced. So my sister, your testimony
right.
is powerful. And the lives that you're touching are going to extend the love of God beyond your immediate territory. So I want to commend you. I want to encourage you. I want to support you. And I want to partner with you so that we can make sure that others are aware of who you are in Christ Jesus and what you have through Christ Jesus to not only make a difference in your lives, but to make a difference in the lives of other people who need the same thing that you and I and Joel have. And that's the blood of Jesus in our lives.
Does
God
he have
bless
your
you
contact information, Brother Mike? Does Minister Joel have your contact information? Because I definitely want to get awesome. Because you said everything the way I wanted to say it. We need each other. It's just about partnership. So you hit it. You hit the nail on the head.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Give us some contact numbers there, TJ, and so we can reach you and other people can reach you.
Okay. It's 214-718-8432. And for those that are calling long distance, the first next week, Monday, the 800 number will be ready. So for right now, just do the long distance or do it, collect however they need to do it. But it's 214-718-8432. And Minister Mike, are you allowed to give your contact information out online, or do I need to get that from him personally?
That's up to Joel.
Yeah, go ahead and give it out, because someone else may want to contact you.
It's 214-900-4179. That's 214-900-4179.
All right, because I'm going to definitely get in touch with you, and we're going to make some things happen between us, and I'm also going to get in touch with Minister Joel. This is just an excellent opportunity, and I appreciate you guys' words of encouragement. I do listen, and I do learn from people who's doing it and been there before me, so I appreciate it. I don't take it lightly.
Hey, man, God bless you. Now, tell us where we can pick up your book at.
You can purchase it on anywhere that sells books, like even mom-and-pop bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Lord & Taylor. And it's funny because I had a lot of people, because of the content about who I was naming and all of this stuff, they didn't want to do it. But just by me stepping out on faith and doing it myself, I already got a second book deal through the Oprah Winfrey Publishing House. So
hey,
don't
man.
Let nobody tell you what you can't do, even if you can't spell words correctly. I didn't do the typical book, but just by me stepping out on faith, some avenues have opened, and I just thank God for the opportunity, and I thank God for people like you who can, you know, just help give God's partnership, you know, to the rest of the saints. It's about spreading the good news.
That's what it's all about. God bless you. Thank you for it's been a great interview. That I'm encouraged by what you're saying. We're looking forward to having you to come back on here and give us an update and encourage us about about our father business. We have our co-host on the line here, Brother Daniel. He may want to say something to you before we get out of here, Brother Daniel.
Okay.
Hey, Ms. TJ. I need to ask you a question. I'm in the process of trying to write a book. I'm starting on a couple of manuscripts. What are some of the shortcomings of getting it together? You say it was a pretty easy thing. You don't, you know, you're having problems with grammar, and you seem to don't know how to. How did you basically start compiling all the facts together?
Okay, well, very quickly, what I did was my problems came about when I first found a publishing company. Can you hear me? Hello?
Go ahead, TJ.
Can you
we'll
hear
pick
me?
You up.
Okay, my problem came about first when I first started trying to find a publishing company. People will come in and try to tell you what you can write and what you shouldn't write. A lot of people didn't like the fact that I was naming people's names like Emmett Smith and Michael Irvin. Well, I wouldn't say anything bad about a person that would get them shot or anything like that, but I was truthful with my dealings with them. You know, I was just truthful. You have to read that part. But another problem I had trouble with is when I came to find the editors, I had two editors, you know, rip me off. They took, like, almost $3,000 a piece saying that they were going to edit my book, and then when the finishing product came, at the end, they didn't do it. And these are people that are through licensed and publishing people that you do your homework on. So when I got the book back, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't, you know, edit it. So now all I can do is just sue. But those are the things that I know to look for next time. But that's when you're not going with a reputable company. The one that I'm going with now, with the Oprah Winfrey Company, I shouldn't have that issue.
Hey, man, God bless you. We're about ready to get on out here. Brother Daniel, thank you for that question. And we pray that someone that heard this here being encouraged, and that they have a book in them that they want to share, and also being encouraged to someone else. We want to thank you, Evangelist Mitchell, for being our guest on the program. We sort of set our title to the side there. We were just having a good conversation. We allowed other people to come in and join our conversation. It's been a great time, and please come back. Please come back and continue to share your experience with the Lord. Amen. Before we get out of here, we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to thank God for this opportunity. Gracious and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for what we heard and what we experienced today. We thank you, dear Lord, for our dear sister evangelist, T.J. Mitchell, dear Lord, how she poured herself out, dear Lord, how she took the covers off, dear Lord, and exposed herself. Someone needs to hear that. Brother Jeffrey was encouraged by it. Minister Flemings was encouraged by it. Brother Ricky was encouraged by it, dear Lord. We ask you, dear Lord, all our listening audience, dear Lord, let them be encouraged and empowered by what they heard today. We thank you for Dr. Fletcher this morning, dear Lord, how he came on and he shared some things concerning the body, dear Lord. Dear Lord, as this program goes out, let it fall up on fertile ground. Let the hearers hear it and rejoice that God is up to something in their life. Dear Lord, bless Evangeline Miller. Bless the works of her hand. Let her be an encourager. Dear Lord, open up doors that can't no man. Open closed doors that need to be closed. Dear Lord, let things be done decent and order. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Everyone have a great day in the Lord, and thank you very much. We've had a great time. And remember, this show is archived. You can go back and listen to it again with your family and friends and post it on your Facebook page. And we're here every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 with great guests. And looking forward to another great show next week. Thank you, Brother Daniel. That was a great interview you did that with Dr. Fletcher.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Lewis, for letting me be here today. Free on the inside.
Everyone be blessed in the Lord and the power of his might. You've been listening to Free on the Inside. In that program, to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be. Amen. God bless you. Be strong in the Lord.
Free. You're free. Thank you.